you on?
Nothing like telling the sound deck what to do. I think that's coming over more, isn't it? Right. Welcome you to the service of Lessons and Carols by Candlelight, and also to those who are joining us on Zoom and YouTube. For those in the building, because we can't do it for those on Zoom or YouTube, there is tea and coffee and mince pies afterwards in the coffee bar. And there's also a stall for some handmade crafts made by members of St Martin's Housing. St Martin's not only provide housing for the homeless, they also support them to learn skills and find work. And there's this display about St Martin's in the coffee bar with leaflets to take away. It's also our cause for the month, and every Christmas the collections here and on Christmas Day go to St Martin's, and there's baskets there and outside for your gifts. My name's Audrey, and I'm the church secretary here. I'm one of the elders, which is really why I'm leading this. We don't have a minister at the moment, but hopefully we pray that during the year somebody might feel called to come. During this service, we'll be hearing readings and singing carols to tell the Christmas story. There's going to be short prayers for each section, linking that part of the story to our lives today. And I'm also going to create a nativity scene on here to help us picture the story as we go through it. This tonight is the meeting place of heaven and earth. For this tonight is the stable in which God keeps his appointment to meet his people. Not many high are here, not many holy, not many innocent children, not many worldly wise, not all familiar faces, not all frequent visitors. But if tonight only strangers met, that would be enough. For Bethlehem was not the hub of the universe, nor was the stable a platform for famous folk. In an out-of-the-way place which folk never thought to visit, there God kept and keeps his promise. Their God sends his son. We're now going to sing our first carol, which is well known, I think, to everybody. Once in Royal David City, and there's four verses we're singing. Please stand, if you can.
Thank you.
birth of Jesus in Bethlehem was predicted both by the prophets Micah and Isaiah. They both lived around 700 years BC. We're now going to hear the prophecy from the book of Isaiah, which Annette will read from us. And it's Isaiah 9, verses 2 and 6 to 7. I'm also going to light the Advent candle.
The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
And a short prayer. Dear Lord, as the prophets of old foretold your birth, so we look back to that birth and look forward to the promise of the life to come. Forgive us if we don't always remember why you came to earth. We don't share that message as the prophets did. Amen. And we're going to remember the words of Micah and Isaiah as we too call on Jesus to be with us as we sing, O come, Emmanuel.
Oh.
the first Christmas starts when the angel Gabriel visits Mary. We hear the story from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 26 to 37, which is being read by Viv.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word be to me fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Let us pray. If Mary had not heard, had heard but had not listened, had understood but not stood still, had not consented, had been scared, had scurried from the garden where he glistened in the dark house or the dark wood, worried because the word he hinted stirred uneasily within the ear, if she had erred and had permitted her heart to harden, when like frost enameled ground, air glinted, the word would have only been sound. Lord, help us to listen and to act. Amen. We remember this part of the story as we sing our next carol, which is "Now Tell Us, Gentle Mary." But Mary wasn't the only one to have a visit from the angel. In our third reading, read to us by Jill, from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, we hear how Joseph accepts Jesus as his son.
This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife.
And we pray again. Dear Lord, you came to Mary, you came to Joseph. They both listened and trusted in your word. Help us to trust your word. They were both troubled, but your word comforted them and gave them strength. We ask for that same gift of peace, for its depth when we are most troubled, for its comfort when we are most afraid, for its simplicity when we are most pressured, for its truth when we are most disconcerted, and for its stillness when we are most swamped by the busyness of life. Amen. And we're going to sing the carol "Over 2,000 Years Ago," which might be new to some of you, as we remember the gift which was given that first Christmas.
Thank you.
In the fourth reading, the story continues in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 5, read by Wendy. We learn why Mary and Joseph, plus the donkey, although that's probably not in the Bible, travelled to Bethlehem, a hard and difficult road, especially for one in the advanced stages of pregnancy.
In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child.
Let us pray. We pray for all those travelling in difficult circumstances, all who've been uprooted from their homes and their countries by war or natural disasters, all those struggling with the paths of life through illness, bereavement, displacement, loneliness, poverty, or any other circumstance. We particularly think of the people of Magdeburg, the people of Palestine, Syria, Ukraine, the Sudan, and the other areas of the world where there is strife. Lord, help them see that they can call on you and you will be there with them on every step of the way. Amen. And the next carol reflects back to the birth of Christ in Bethlehem, but also asks that God be born in us today, O little town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
next reading is the centrepiece of the story, as we hear about the birth of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7, read by Rosie.
While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there were no guest room available for them.
This poem by Tom Schumann helps us really think what this short passage means. If you came in the spring, we would expect newness, bright yellow flowers to soften your path, the songs of birds to herald your coming. But you came in winter's despair. The chill of complacency settled upon us. If you came in the summer, we could expect you to be bronze, blonde, stepping from the sea. But you came in a stable, a wrinkled baby with animals as midwives, and angels your playmates. Help us to set down our parcels of expectations, to reach down and scoop you up in our arms, your laughing breath giving us life. And we pray together. Lord, we lay our burdens at your feet. God of wisdom and wonder, we praise you for your gift of peace, for its depth when we are most troubled, for its comfort when we are most afraid, for its simplicity when we are most pressured, for its truth when we are most disconcerted, and for its stillness when we are most swamped by the noise and busyness of Christmas. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And our next carol, O Holy Night, sums up the joy of the birth and the promises for us.
Thank you.
seated. Today, when a child is born, news is spread, usually by the parents or possibly the grandparents, via different sorts of media. The news of Jesus' birth was spread in a very different way, as we hear in our fifth reading from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 to 20. Try and picture this as Mike reads it.
The shepherds hurry down to see the baby. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God bless his reading.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, the first to be told about the birth of Christ were the shepherds, the poorest in society, those who were looked down on by others. But the angels brought them joy. We pray for those who have been joy givers to us, who have been hope givers to us, who have shown us care and compassion, who have blessed us with words of peace and offered us unconditional love. Help us to be joy bringers, hope givers, and show love, care, and compassion to others. Amen. We revisit this part of the story in our next carol, while shepherds watch their flocks by night.
Thank you.
In our seventh reading, I'm getting confused, we move beyond the birth of Christ to a while later. Although nativity scenes tend to have shepherds and kings there at the same time, the reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 2 to 12, tells this part of the story. It may not have happened immediately after Jesus' birth, but is an important part of the story, and it's going to be read by Emma.
Matthew 2, starting verse 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had pulled together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Thank you. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for those who have wealth, that they may spend their money wisely. We pray for those in positions of power in every walk of life, that they may make decisions with the needs of the welfare of others in mind. Be with them when some of those decisions are very difficult to take, so that money or power does not become the overriding concern. Help us to see why some of those decisions might have to be made, and give us the strength to work with them or to challenge them if they go against the good of the people. Amen. And our next carol echoes the reading and the prayer, "As with gladness, men of old." story doesn't end there. It's not just a twee story celebrated with nativity sets and pictures of stables and angels and an excuse for celebration. As we hear in our final reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 1 to 14, read by Bridget.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives life to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
And that's what Christmas story is all about. It's not really about the birth of Christ. It's about why the birth of Christ is important and what it symbolises. It's not possible to read the whole story in one gospel. For example, in Matthew's gospel, we hear of Jesus' genealogy or an ancestry, because it's really important to link his birth to the prophecies in Micah and Isaiah. But we don't hear of the angel coming to Mary. We have to go to Luke for that. But Matthew does tell us of the angel coming to Joseph, in the same way we read of the wise men in Matthew, but not in Luke, and the shepherds in Luke, but not in Matthew. But the details don't matter. It's the whole story that does. And the fundamental part of the story is that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus came to earth so that we might see that God is love, so that we might learn how God wants us to live, and to live in the knowledge that we are never alone, whatever the circumstances or whatever we have said or done. God knows it all. God will be with us every step of the way, because God is love. The story of the Nativity is that story. Love was shown by all the characters apart from Herod in the story that we celebrate every Christmas. All those who came to visit Jesus were showing love. And that's what we should take away when we hear the story. The fact that God is love, and we should love one another as God loves us. Let us pray. Out with the old and in with the new. O Lord, the time is close at hand now, and our preparations are nearly done, as we get ready to welcome you in a new way. No longer will we worship the small image of you that we have created in our minds. No longer will our prayers be for our own selfish needs to be met now. No longer will our repentance be only skin deep, a token offering. No longer will our actions be about improving our status in the eyes of the world. Come, Lord, release us from our old tarnished ways. Make us alert to your holy presence in our very midst. Help us to listen to your voice with our hearts, so that the word is made flesh in us, and we are turned upside down and truly transformed. In us, Lord, may your presence be glimpsed. May your faithfulness be known. May your love be sung forever. May your justice be enthroned. May your kingdom come. Amen. And we sum up the whole story we've heard tonight as we sing the carol, O Come All Ye Faithful. We aren't singing verse 6. It's not on the screen because, although we sang it this morning with slightly different words, but because it says, Yea, Lord, we greet thee. And if you want to sing that, you'll have to come and join us on Christmas Day at 10:30. So I think we're singing it then, and you can sing it then. So please stand and sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Everybody here a very happy Christmas, a very peaceful Christmas. And we, in the church here, we have a tradition. We say the grace together, which is on the screen. And if you like to look at other people, see a blessing then as you say the grace. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Thank you.
Just